This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by Dipsy. Inner Ho Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, a podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist, socially distancing ho who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
Me, Rodeca, a fat, black, polyamorous, pansexual pessimist who probably cries too much and uses humor to distract everyone from the fact that we are currently in the darkest timeline.
Me, Rob, one pansexual, agender feminist with a fatty whose pronouns are they, them, and fire daddy.
Akua, what can I be this week? I am single but not ready to mingle, sexually fluid, mental health enthusiast, pronouns she and her.
I love it.
Single but not ready to mingle was really cute. Every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews from insightful folks. On today's episode, we're talking about how to have sex during a pandemic or not, the beauty of masturbation, virtual drink and draw dates, how to get out of your head during sex, fulfilling your civic duty, a 2-year anniversary of abstinence, woohoo, non-consensual edging, not woohoo, and much, much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InnerHoUprising without the G on Twitter, at InnerHoUprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching InnerHoUprising Community. That is CUMMUNITY. You can go to innerhouseuprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies, VR newsletter, to pay a hoe, and to check out the rest of our merch.
And if you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or podcasting, or any of the other kinds of topics we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. Or if you would like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop for your organization, we would equally love to do that. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. That email is in the show notes for this episode. Now let's get into Ho of the Week.
Okay.
And some of our hoes of the week this week are good old T. Ray Ray, whose real name is actually Terrell, but whose true name, his name deep down, is actually T. Ray Ray. T. Ray Ray upped his pledge once again. He just keeps going up and up and up. He's going in the reverse direction of the economy right now. Economy's going down, T-Ray's going up and up. We appreciate that. Then we have K1 Visa, whose real name is actually Kaylee, and they revised their pledge to be lower. And in these times, these tough pandemic times, we understand why one might do that, and we appreciate you for sticking around with us. Then we have Dimitri, who is one of my homies from college, who listens to Inner Ho Uprising on FaceTime with his boyfriend as a social distance date. And that's really fucking cute. And in addition to being really fucking cute, Dimitri became a patron recently. And as all patrons and hoes of the week do, I will be giving Dimitri a very special nickname. And as per our new nickname rules, Dimitri must guess why his nickname is his nickname or not. So Dimitri has the option of guessing his nickname, but if he doesn't want to, he's also welcome to do that. But Dimitri's nickname is Marble. Then we have D, who's D. Sorry, let me say that right. Then we have D, who's D, whose real name is actually Dara. And Dara purchased some merchandise and did a nice photo set of said merch on their Twitter account. Thank you so much, D, who's D. We would also like to thank those who joined this past week's Monday Night Live on Patreon. That is a show that I do for $5 and up patrons on Patreon bi-weekly on Monday evenings. And this past week, we played Jeopardy together. So we got to shout out the winners. We got Tawiwi, who came in first place. Then we got Mont Gizzy, who came in second place. And Martina, who came in third place. They were actually the only three people there, though. So
there's only three. They came in. They're all winners.
They're all winners. Yeah. They're all winners, and we appreciate all of them. That was really fun. All $5 and up Patreons are free to participate in the Monday Night Live chats. All $2 and up patrons of Inner Hoa Uprising are free to participate in our private group chat on Slack. Shout out to Chameleon Here, Chameleon There, Tougher Than Nigerian Here, who is really, really active in the Slack chat and is always asking us questions about our quarantine life and things like that. I appreciate her for doing that. And everybody is free to participate in our weekly pre-show Instagram Live. So you can follow us on Instagram and turn on push notifications for Inner Hoa Uprising to take part in those. And also look out for Inner Hoa Uprising Netflix parties coming to you very soon. Be on the lookout for that. So if you would like to be a Hoa of the Week and get a cool nickname for yourself, here are some things that you can do. You can donate to us on PayPal at paypal.me/innerhoa. You can become a patron on Patreon at patreon.com/innerhoauprising. You can shout us out in an article you've written on social media. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can purchase some merchandise at innerhoauprising.com/merchandise. The links to do all of these good things are in the show notes for this episode. And next up, we have self-care tip of the week. Start self-care tip of the week with an inquiry. Who has filled out their census?
I did.
Mine is open in the next tab.
Nice.
Mine's is paper and on the table, and I am failing.
Why are you failing?
Because I didn't do it, even though I've been it's home open, for a week though. And a half.
There's still time. And also, you don't have to do the paper one.
Yeah, I just learned that actually from you.
Good.
I did not know that.
Great. Okay, now everybody's going to learn. And you don't have to feel bad if you haven't done it yet. So the self-care tip of the week this week is if you live in the United States, to please fill out your census. Let's talk about why you should do that. So why is it important to fill out the census? It's important that everyone get counted so that we receive adequate funds and appropriate legislative representation in our communities, particularly Black and Brown communities, because, you know, we get shafted a lot. So we don't want to get shafted any more than we already do. So we want to make sure that everybody who is living in a place is adequately counted. And that includes folks who are not citizens. That includes folks who are in school dorming. That includes folks who are incarcerated and all of that. How do you fill out your census, you might be asking? So you probably got a piece of mail that is from the Census Bureau. You can open up that piece of mail, you can fill it out, and you can mail it. I know people have concerns about touching mail and going outside right now, so that might not be your bag at the moment. But if that is not your bag, you can actually go to my2020census.gov, and either way, it takes you 5 minutes. There are a couple of questions to be answered, and that is that. What the fuck are they asking, you might be saying? They're asking who you live with, your age, your race, who owns the space. That's basically it.
And how you're related to that person.
And how you're related to that person, yes. What about my gender? So they do, unfortunately, not provide any gender options outside of the gender binary, as in male and female. If that is triggering for you, you might want to consider asking your friend to fill out your application for you online. They can do so if you just give them your census ID, which is in the bit of mail that you got. If that bit of mail was lost, there are other ways that you can navigate the website. So just type in your name and your address and you can still fill it out. It's the feds, you might just be saying to yourself. Yes, this is an initiative by the federal government. No, they are not asking whether or not you are a citizen. So if that is something that is concerning to you, there's no need to be concerned. My privacy, you might also be saying. The United States government will not release personally identifiable information about an individual to any other individual or agency until 72 years after the census information was collected. So just know that if privacy is one of your concerns. And that's it. I hope you all fill out your census.
Yeah, it was really easy. I thought it was going to take a long time. It took me like 5 minutes.
Literally, it takes 5 minutes. And you're somebody who has multiple people living in your home. So obviously that decreases with the number of people who you live with and increases a little bit with the number of people that you live with. But it's a very simple process. Bam. Bam, bam, bam. Bam. Bam, bam, bam.
Do you need a break? A break from the news and social media? A break from that clumsy fuckboy trying to get you to quarantine and chill? Some time to reconnect with that sensual side of yourself? It's time to prioritize a little me time to help you recharge, and Dipsy can help you focus on something more pleasurable than everything else going on. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions that are designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself. The stories are relatable and immersive, so you feel like you're right there. And there's something for everyone, whoever and whatever you're into. They add new content every week, so there's always more to explore. Find stories about a spontaneous hookup with a stranger, getting closer with that sexy yoga instructor that you can't stop thinking about, or even stories about trying that new toy together or getting tied up. The guided sessions can also help you unlock new confidence or heighten intimacy with your partner. This year, in the year of 2020, try a new way of getting turned on with Dipsy. And for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/IHU. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/IHU. Again, dipsystories.com/IHU.
Bow, bow, bow. Bow, 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 bow. Now let's head into our next segment, a segment that we like to call Fuck That. It is our current events segment, and today we're talking about masturbation.
We are talking about masturbation. More specifically, we're talking about why you should be masturbating more in the time of the Rona. Okay, so recently, the Department of Health, New York City Department of Health specifically, released a memo on March 21st reminding New Yorkers that we are to stay at home and minimize contact with others in order to reduce the spread of COVID-19. We know this. It's pretty much something that's happening everywhere, so it should be across the board, something that we all know because we're all stuck in here anyway. So basically, the memo, one of the first questions is, can I have sex though? Because that's something that we're all asking. There's a lot of memes on the internet now. I'm sure you've seen them talking about coronavirus and chill, like trying to make light of that, or fucking with a mask and hazmat suit on. A lot of weird things. Coronavirus porn is apparently a thing too. Just people are kind of sexualizing the situation, but really they just want to know, can we fuck? This memo almost feels like a direct response to that, and just the fact that people are cooped up and are gonna be horny as fuck. Firstly, you have to have the basic knowledge to know how COVID-19 spreads. You can get COVID-19 from a person who has it. The virus can spread through people who are within 6 feet of a person with COVID-19 when that person coughs or sneezes, and the virus can spread through direct contact with their saliva or mucus. COVID-19 has been found in the feces of people who are infected as well with the virus. COVID-19 has not been found in semen or vaginal fluid. We know that other coronaviruses do not efficiently transmit through sex either. So really, the memo goes on to give us tips and let us know that while sex is not completely off the board, there are some things that we do have to keep in mind. So if you do want to have sex, your safest sex partner besides yourself, and we'll get onto that later because this is about masturbation, of course. The sex partner that is the safest besides yourself is someone that you live with. So you should avoid close contact, including sex with anyone outside of your household. If you do have sex with others, have as few partners as possible. Really pick one person. If you're stuck in the quarantine with them, somehow you can fuck them even if you don't live with them. But you really shouldn't be trying to find new people and just, oh yeah, I'm gonna stay in the house. I don't know why niggas are doing that. Y'all need to stop that shit. We're not doing that this time. If you usually meet your sex partners online or make a living by having sex, consider taking a break from in-person dates. Here on Air Uprising, we're not telling you to consider that. We're telling you to not fucking do it. Like, stop having dates in person. Video dates, sexting, or chat rooms may be better options for you. I just wanted to shout out the Department of Health for literally writing, if you make a living having sex, with no other nuances, just letting it go, which is great, and just legitimizing sex work, because that is something that we do have to take into consideration. This is people's livelihood here. Kissing can easily pass COVID-19. Avoid kissing anyone who is not part of your small circle of close contacts. I did like the way that was written, because it's just like, maybe you're just kissing your homies. Sometimes you just kiss your homies. I don't know.
That's my funny. Condoms.
Anyway, condoms and dental dams can reduce contact with saliva or feces, especially during oral or anal sex. But no rimming, though. So as clean as you can try to be, you can have your butthole squeaky clean. There's going to be most likely some traces of feces on there. And since COVID-19 can be found in feces of infected people, it's best to practice no butt-to-mouth action. If you can minimize some ass stuff, that'd be for the best. And washing up before and after sex is more important than ever. We talk about making sure you pee after sex, making sure you're just clean in general, but washing, 20-second rule, that's so important, and now you just need to be doing it. Also, disinfecting keyboards and touchscreens you share with others. Let's say you're, you know, going off at the keyboard that you guys all share in the living room. Maybe you guys all shared one family mouse. I don't know. You got to clean up after yourself because it's just, first of all, gross, but also just don't get anybody else infected because that sucks. Or if you're video chatting or watching pornography or anything at a computer and you're sharing with someone else, just be mindful of that. This is especially important because we just need to start finding alternatives to in-person partner sex in general. Apparently, because people are out of work and things like that, that's affecting products that we use to keep our sex safe, and more specifically, there's looking like there's going to be a condom shortage very soon. According to The Guardian, there's a global shortage of condoms on the horizon after a coronavirus lockdown in Malaysia forced Carex BHD, or better known in the States as Durex condoms, as they are the world's biggest producer of condoms. They make one in every 5 condoms globally, and they are currently shut down, but on Friday, the one that's coming up, the one that's coming up, when they do restart production, they will only be allowed to use 50% of its workforce under a special exemption for critical industries. Chief Executive Go Mia Kiat told The Guardian, it will take time to jumpstart factories and we will struggle to keep up with the demand at half capacity. We're going to see a global shortage of condoms everywhere. And they're not sure how long it's going to last. So that's obviously going to affect having sex, especially safe sex. And it's better to start varying our ways to have sex or derive pleasure sooner rather than later. So it's time to explore safer ways to have partner sex, including phone sex, FaceTime sex, mutual masturbation. Again, this memo basically said you need to just be masturbating. So as if you needed someone to tell you that, I don't, but now I have more reason to just be like, I'm helping out with this pandemic by just touching on myself. So this is just a call to action to have sex with your safest sex partner, which is yourself. So I just wanted to, you know, let everybody know as many times as possible, you should be touching yourself, you should be having fun. And I wanted to ask you guys if you guys have been masturbating at your home. Are you doing it more or less? How do you feel about the idea of just, all right, well, it's going to be me and my hand or my dildo or whatever. And how, if at all, your masturbation has changed, or will you try to improve it in the times of the Rona?
Well, I can definitely say in the times of the Rona, I have not masturbated. I was sick with the Rona for like the past week and a half, and I've had like the energy and the thought to do it, but I think I've been so overwhelmed with the fact that I was like directly affected and couldn't work, and I felt really guilty because I feel like I got other people sick because I didn't take it seriously at first. I just definitely, even though I didn't feel really sexy before, I definitely did not want to touch myself. And I'm like, damn, but this is like the perfect time because I'm home and I can't see any other person. So this is like a great time to really reconnect with my body and try to really understand what my disconnect is with masturbation, why I suddenly stopped so hard. But I even scheduled a date. Me and my friend were talking. He's like, all right, yo, Friday at 7 p.m., you better fucking masturbate. And I was like, hell yeah. And I was like, yo, just message me because I'm going to forget. And then he didn't message me and I forgot. And then when I remembered, I still didn't do it. So I don't know. I'm not making good use of masturbation time.
I don't really think it's like a make use of good masturbation time, though. Like, I think it's valid that you felt other kinds of ways about living in the time of the Rona. I think somebody in the Inner Hoe Uprising Slack chat mentioned this the other day, and maybe Rob and Akua, with your like biology and mental health backgrounds, to talk about this a little bit. But I think it was Camille who said people's sex drives generally decrease in times of like anxiety. And so like eventually, I mean, it's good to have these things in the back of our mind for when like the horniness do start up. But I think a lot of people are like kind of coping with something that is extremely unprecedented, you know?
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. Because when you're in like fight or flight mode, you know, all of these things activating your body, as in not having like a decreased appetite. So not really wanting to eat because eating, like your body's basically making use of all the fuel that you already have inside. Decreased urination, because urinating is when you urinate, you're in a vulnerable state. So your body's not trying to pee. And also, yeah, decrease in sex drive, because you don't need sex to survive. So your body basically kind of concentrates all the energy into keeping you alive, and sex does not keep you alive. So I can definitely understand somebody who's going through it real personally, my sex drive decreasing because I'm trying to like not die. So I forgive myself. I love biology.
I think it's interesting because I've seen two like stark differences in responses. Like obviously we're all experiencing this at the same time, so there's the panic, there's anxiety, there's like I can't even think about anything other than this, and then like as I mentioned before, just like mad people on the internet really just going, now I can't get dick, this, that, and the fourth, just really like obsessing over the fact that they cannot have sex.
I haven't like particularly been quite panicked by the situation, though it does like frighten me, because I think this is a frightening country and a frightening time. Like I feel bad about it and sad about it, but I don't think that's like really affected my sex drive. So like I find that my sex drive is pretty much the same. So I haven't like masturbated more or less frequently from the time of like social distancing or anything like that. It has been a minute though since I've gotten the sex, so I'm sure that I'll feel that lack soon. But like just the drive in general, like my masturbation hasn't like increased or decreased or anything like that.
The sex.
Yes, the sex.
Well, I've been masturbating this whole time, y'all. Y'all know I ain't been doing that now. But the social distancing and kind of isolating myself has affected my ability to masturbate, because I am home with my kid and we co-sleep, and there's no space or anywhere else for me to be getting it in. So I have not been masturbating recently. And it's sad because I keep buying sex toys. I keep buying glass toys. And just planning for a time when I can use them.
Do you ever masturbate in the shower, Gua, or the bathroom?
I hate masturbating standing up.
Okay.
Same.
Do you have a tub? I'm not getting it. I don't remember how your bathroom looks.
I have a tub, but I would have to like clean. It would be so much work that it'd just be like, hey, nah,
we can. I mean, check in on us in a month. Like, who's going to be fucking sitting down in her tub?
In the tub. You right? Like, because the way things are looking. Yeah. I don't know. I will be rinsing out that tub a bit more frequently to get in there, but.
That's going to be your new throne.
I just imagine like Dave knocking on the, get the fuck out of the bathroom, mom. I have to pee.
What are you doing?
It's been 2 hours. It's like literally the reverse relationship of like parent and child.
Yes. For me, this week in particular was interesting because we were both under the weather. And I've been in quarantine with my partner, and I haven't had sex because I'm following the rules too. You're not supposed to have sex. And also if you're not feeling well, it's just not like something that's going to happen. But I have been sneaking in masturbation when I get the chance to, because we're sharing a room and there is like the sleeping in the same bed. So it's not happening like when he's here, just because we haven't crossed that boundary yet. And I don't know how to, I just never done that with another person. Like when he goes in the shower, sometimes I might masturbate because I had some toys here, so that's cool. But yeah, it's kind of been sneaking or not at all, so hopefully that'll be more once I head home and stuff, or whenever that does actually happen, or I'll just keep finding time when I can, because I guess like it hasn't decreased my sex drive in any way either. My anxiety and my sexuality have been living under the same brain roof for quite some time now. My anxiety has gone up, but I know how to cope with that just in general. So it doesn't affect my sexuality. But yeah, I've just been getting it how I fit it, pretty much.
Hi-yo, where it fits in. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think you will cross that?
I think so. I think you had been the one to suggest the mutual masturbation, and it was not something that I think about. But I'm like, yeah, I think so. It's not something that I'm opposed to. I've just never been in that situation, and it's just something that to start and to bring up. But I'm down for it. So I think it's something maybe. But like the idea of just like, again, looking at a person and just, or like just being next to another person, just masturbating, it's intimidating, but I'm not opposed to it. So maybe, maybe in 2 weeks I'll be like, yeah, bro, we're double. I don't know.
Do a double?
We were double and there was nothing else after that.
To be candid, mutual masturbation has always been like a fantasy of mine.
Ooh,
let me know how that goes.
I will. I got you.
That's the only reason why Akua is imposing it on everybody. She's like trying to do it in the guise of mental health, but she's really just horny as shit.
I'm really just trying to live vicariously, y'all.
But I can personally say that mutual masturbation is a very good time. It's always a good time. Because I do that with almost all of my partners, especially because I am like, I formerly was like one of the horniest niggas on the planet, and niggas are like, I physically cannot fuck you right now. And I'm like, just touch your penis and I'll be fine. Just keep touching yourself. But it does bring you a lot closer because a lot of people are self-conscious being that vulnerable and not being like covered by another person. You know, you have stuff. So like you're being either somebody's on top of you, they're behind you. You're never really truly separate where you can see everything that's happening and all the facial expressions that are happening. So when it does happen, it like, for me at least, it always brings like another level of openness to our sex. I'm like, you already seen my fuck faces like from 3 feet away. What else is there to hide? Nothing. There's nothing else to hide. I can't wait for you to experience that. It's gonna be dope.
I'm ready. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love a
party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. The next segment is called Fuck Me, which means you fuck yourself. Yes, that is the segment about our transitions are not so good today. That is a segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
So I have been abstinent for 2 years and about 2 weeks. Things are just been a little turned up with the social distancing, because for the past 2 years, maybe a year and a half, I really like filled in all of the intimacy I was missing with like friends and platonic relationships and being social in other ways. And now I can't do none of that. So my brain goes back to being like, you lonely bitch and you horny. It's sad. So lately I've been thinking about, like, there's this voice in my head that's like, oh, get on dating apps. You need that excitement. You need that connection with people. But that's the irrational side of my brain. The rational side of my brain is like, girl, you know, ain't nobody on there. You know, you don't like them people on there. You know, there's nobody to talk. You know that you gonna go on there and delete it in a day. And I just been like battling that, kind of rationalizing and reminding myself that it's like, it's okay to be alone and I can still virtually connect with my friends and family and other people, even in the time of social distancing. But I've really like found myself romanticizing the idea of being like quarantined with a partner and like kind of just driving myself into this rabbit hole of like, you're alone, like you're romantically alone. And it's been a little rough. That's it.
I'm sorry. Oh, damn.
Just so you know, Akua, there was a couple of times that I wanted to cheer, but we literally can't. I just wanted to say congrats for the 2 years. I just, you know. Yay!
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you feel alone. It's just a hard, weird time.
It's nice to, you know, hear stories from people who are currently partnered and, like, together with their partner and being like, yo, there are some cons. Because I know that nigga will breathe the wrong way and I will just be irritated.
Boy.
Let me tell you something. Can't masturbate. battling when you normally can go somewhere or do certain things, and then you have to communicate in a different way. You can't just do what you want. And I'm not even in my own space. I'm in his space. So it's even more different for me, because it's just like, all right, can I pick this up and, you know, just drink all your shit? Because we're sharing the thing, but I can't. It's just a lot. There's a lot. It's a different time. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to figure it out.
I'm sorry. Are you asking Chris to pick things up? Because we might have to get you out of there. What the fuck is going on?
No. I'm just the type of person, like, he's like not the type of person who's like, ah, you can't drink that. I'm just the type of person to be like, look over and I'm like, okay, I'm about to finish this, and just feeling kind of guilty because it's not my shit. But like, yeah.
This nigga's so thoughtful. Not I.
I just can't.
I mean, it's also new though. Like, who knows what that will look like 3 months
from now.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know, 2 years from now, or if, you know, I might just be drinking his shit and throwing it across the room. I don't know, but damn, it's also new.
Yeah, I definitely get being in someone else's space and not wanting to encroach or like
exactly
welcome or like, yeah. So
I've battled a couple of times where I'm just like, I'm just sorry that I have to be here because we're just like stuck in the space together, and I feel bad because like maybe he wants his own space and we can't give it to him right now.
Okay, thank you for sharing that, Akula. All right, so as you all know, there was a thing, or maybe as you don't know if you're a new listener, but there used to be a segment called How Samantha Got Her Groove Back Challenge, and that was where I went on regular dates with people outside, and now I don't do that anymore. So I've renamed it, I've rebranded it, How Samantha Got Her Virtual Groove Back Challenge, okay? And that is where I go on a virtual socially distant date every week and report back to you how it is, and I also give you some cute virtual dates that I think would be good to go on. This week I didn't really go on a proper date or anything like that, and I really have low faith that that will ever happen. But this week I did the Renegade and Savage challenges on FaceTime. I had a Google Hangouts happy hour. We all had a Netflix watch party yesterday. We watched Candyman together. And then last week I had 2 Netflix watch parties. So there is me being social in the time of social distancing. So as promised in previous episodes, here is a virtual date for you all listening this week. Doesn't everybody love a good paint and sip or drink and draw? Unmute your mic and tell me you love it.
Yes.
I sure do. I really do. And I'm sad that they're closed, but I get it. So please tell me more.
Yeah, I think this is actually...
So that was fun.
Oh, puff and sip. Yeah, that's another thing. I think this one is, I think this is a cute idea. So it goes as follows. You grab your booze or whatever beverage of choice or whatever substance of choice. It could be your blunts or your edible or your, I don't know, acid tab. That would be pretty wild. Whatever you want to take before this. Then you FaceTime your date or dates. Then you go to YouTube on a separate device and you type in how to draw. And then as with YouTube, just like YouTube karaoke, you can type in karaoke, any song, you can type in how to draw literally anything. So I just tried it yesterday. I was just like random words that come to mind. I typed in poop. They have how to draw poop. I typed in squirrel. They have how to draw squirrel. I typed in cell phone. They have how to draw. My brain is so silly. They have how to draw cell phone. Then the little auto-populate was like, do you mean Cell from Dragon Ball Z? They have how to draw that nigga also. Then I was like, cartoons, Penny Proud. They have how to draw Penny Proud. So you could type in anything and it will be on fucking YouTube. Then you and your date, you drink or whatever substance that you want to do and you follow along with the video and then you're done. And then you compare your little pictures and you post it on social media and you're like, oh, who won or whatever. And if you don't have, you know, you can use whatever. Like if you don't have paints at home, I know some people do and some people just don't. Use a fucking pencil. Use a pen. True. Yeah. And that's virtual drink and draws, paint and sips, whatever.
You know what, Sam? I love you. Because I was really thinking, I was like, all right, if we're still quarantined in July for my birthday and I don't know what we're going to do, I'm going to have a paint and sip and I'm going to ship everyone, you know, art supplies and then we're going to do it together. And Smitha said, here's a cheaper, free way to do it.
Aww. I love it.
Thank you.
That's a cute birthday. You can use
highlighters. Everybody has fucking highlighters, bro.
You can use anything. You could fucking, this was going to get really weird. You can go outside a little bit. You know, there's trees in front of your house. Take a little branch of the tree, burn it. You have charcoal.
Ah. You use your blood?
Yeah. Oh, for brow. Boy.
Wait a minute.
Oh, shit.
You use your eyeliner.
Oh, this.
The only thing you can't use is your feces because there is fucking SARS-CoV-2 in your feces. So.
Yes.
Don't do that. Also,
do not show me your fucking blood drawings. I don't want it. I have to have a boundary set up for shit.
You already seen
and
it.
That's it.
You already seen
what?
It.
That's the boundary. Blood drawings.
Y'all.
Blood drawings. Zinger. All right. That's my piece.
All right. So I am a highly sexual being who's on antidepressants. And a known side effect of these drugs are decreased libido. So I've been doing this segment, documenting my journey with trying to balance my sex drive with my medication. So the last episode, I was on Wellbutrin and hydroxyzine, and now I'm on Wellbutrin, Klonopin, something that starts with a T and an R that helps me go to sleep. Now my sex drive, it feels like it's kind of almost back to normal. However, I'm wondering if also my lack of sex drive was just because I had a lack of connection with people. And I just couldn't have sex with my partner. My partner lived in Texas. And we were going through a lot before we broke up. So we weren't being sexual with each other, which probably also helped decrease my sex drive. I think it was a lot more than just the antidepressants themselves. And I wasn't in a space that I had enough time to explore that because I was in the Fire Academy. But now that I'm out of the Fire Academy, and I am a firefighter, I'm starting to experience the world as this single person. So I ended up getting head twice, right? And then that's as far as it went on both occasions. And on both occasions, I was non-consensually edged. Now, you might wonder, what is non-consensual edging? Or what is edging in general? So edging in general is like when you're having sex, whether that's oral sex, penetrative sex, or anything that leads to an orgasm. And right before that person has an orgasm, you stop. And it pushes them to the edge, but they don't ever go over the edge with an orgasm. And that's something that people like to practice. I actually like to practice that when I'm having sex with a partner, but it's usually consensual. Where they say like, don't nut, and they'll continue or some shit. And I'm like trying very hard to not have this orgasm. But non-consensual edging is you about to orgasm, your partner knowing that and stopping without you saying that that was okay. And them like them being fully aware exactly of what they're doing and you not being okay with that. And you can see how that can be very fucking annoying. And yeah, recently I got head for approximately, literally it was probably like 45 seconds, right? And it was good. I was like, yeah, I'm here. And I was so close to fucking nutting. I have not had an orgasm in like a fucking month. And I was so close to having an orgasm and he stopped. And I was like, well, why the fuck did you do that? And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, you're just going to have to wait and see what happens next. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But I'm thinking like, maybe I'm going to go to this nigga's house like tomorrow or some shit. In the next few days, we're going to finish where the fuck we started. But no, I never saw this nigga again. This was 2.5 weeks ago. We didn't talk until today because he's been ignoring me for 2.5 weeks because he had so much shit going on. And then there was a woman that I was messing with who did the same thing to me, had me completely butt-ass naked. She was completely dressed. It was very uncomfortable, but I'm like, fuck it. If I can get this fucking orgasm. And she gave me head for approximately 47 seconds. And when I was about to nut, she stopped. And I said, hey, you know, bitch, it would be really nice, like, do all of this weird dom shit you got going on if I at least just got an orgasm out of it. And she said, well, that's something you could figure out by yourself when I leave. And I was like, damn.
What the fuck?
And she left. And she never came back. And I think that's okay. But I think with those two experiences, I've just been so turned off with sex in general, because I've had two very like shitty experiences that just made me really question, why do I even give a fuck about sex at this point? And I know that sex is so much bigger than the people who I sleep with. But it's still, those two instances still very much affected me, because it made me feel as if my pleasure was completely unimportant. The game was more important than pleasure. So I'm like in this very odd headspace where I'm trying to like almost force myself to masturbate just so I can try to feel something that's independent of another person. But I'm also tired and I just don't really feel like it.
I'm very sorry that that happened, because that fucking sucks. It sounds like a control thing and it's just like fucked up, because it's not something that you ask for or anyone asks for. And I just, I hate that it's like jading your experiences when you're just trying to get back out there and stuff. So I'm sorry. These niggas is whack.
I want to fight those people. Give me numbers. Like, I want to fight them. Like, I'm not one for edging. Like, that's not my bag. That's not my thing, because it makes me so frustrated. And then to, like, do it in the sadistic, cruel way. Like, what is wrong with those people? Nah, they got square up. I don't like it. I don't like it. Mm-mm.
We fight on this show.
Yeah, I think that's... that's fucking weird and whack, and those people are weird and whack, and unfortunately they've shown their weird and whack true colors, and I understand where you're coming from, where it's like, why am I even bothering with sex? I mean, obviously that's like a bit complicated now because like physical sex is out of the question, but like even still, like these are not the people you even want to have virtual sex with. And I've definitely also had some shitty ass encounters with people, specifically men, where I'm like, what is even the point of this fucking sex thing? But I wanted to touch on the end where you're like, oh, you know, now, like what you were saying in the beginning, where it's like, now is the time to masturbate and I don't even feel like it. I mean, like, step by step, day by day, you know, like there's no timer on when you need to masturbate. Even the segment itself is not. I know you say at the end of the segment, like, I'm going to check back in and hopefully I've masturbated, but like none of us, there's no rush here, you know? Yeah. Like there's no... like, just feel it out. And when the time feels right, then you'll do it. And maybe it'll feel good. And maybe if it feels off, then you'll stop. And then you'll have, like, a snack. I thought I wanted to masturbate, but I really just wanted some cereal or something like that. So, yeah, definitely, like, be forgiving of yourself on that front. And also, like, pat yourself on the back where you're, like, instead of being in a space where these people have kind of like betrayed you and been very like predatory in a way, instead of being like, ah, I just want sex so bad, like I'm gonna forgive that, like you've now set a boundary and you're like, okay, this is things that I do not want to happen and I do not want to fuck with these people anymore, you know? So commend yourself for that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I agree with everything Sam has said. You can also use this as an opportunity when you're ready to reframe masturbating for yourself, because lately it does have been seeming like work, like a chore that you have to do. Oh, I have to remind myself, I have to put it on my calendar. And, you know, your pleasure should be, I always see, you know, your pleasure as self-care, like what you're doing for yourself, something to rejuvenate yourself. So reframing masturbation in a way is like, I don't have to depend on people who could be shitty and selfish about my pleasure, and I can control, you know, pleasuring myself and getting off whenever I want to. But again, in your own time, when you're actually up to it and can be fully engrossed in it.
One day at a time. I niggas gotta concentrate on like not dying of coronavirus, and then we can just take it from there. Because yeah, you're right, there is no rush. I feel like there is a rush, but there's absolutely none, because who cares but me, because it's my life.
Exactly.
How about you, Rod?
Fuck these niggas.
At the end of the day, fuck these niggas.
Me and Chris have kind of gone the longest that we've known each other without having sex, without me being like on our period, my period. I was gonna say our period. We're joined. Our uteruses are one. No, but it's the longest time, and for some reason I felt really like, even though he was sick and my brain is saying like he's sick, I'm sick, like he just was not feeling well. He's better now, but in my brain I just felt kind of rejected, because I was like, you know, you're not, I could do all the work, I don't mind doing that. But it was, I realized that I equate like having sex with my desirability and just like having access to sex and all that type of stuff, or people like saying they want to have sex with me, I'm just like, ah, yeah, that means I'm desirable or whatever. And it's like, I know that I have the internal validation of like just feeling attractive when I do, because that's not every day, but when I do, I'm just like, I'm good. But for some reason, or rather just like, I'm realizing because I didn't have sex, I immediately thought that he must not be attracted to me or just like not want to be with me or whatever, even though I know it doesn't make sense because he was sick. But even if he wasn't, I realized that that's just something that I guess I have to work on, just because it just, I can't be every time I'm not having sex or not like being felt up on or anything like that, I'm suddenly like unattractive, which I guess I didn't realize was an issue with me before. But now that I have time and a lot of things are just like on my mind and they have nowhere else to go but to be evaluated, I realized that like that was a very confusing feeling, because it's like, wait, he's not able to have sex, so why do I feel undesirable? Why do I feel like, oh, maybe he's just like not attracted to me anymore, et cetera, et cetera. So I stopped and I had a conversation when I realized that that was something that I was thinking. And that's when we just kind of, he kind of asked me like, okay, so what ways can I show you that I like I'm attracted to you, or what ways can I show you that I'm anything other than sex or physical intimacy, which is important, but also just like, what can I do to help you? So we're kind of working through that. And even I don't really know what that looks like, because I didn't even realize how important sex was to me to feel desired until I didn't have it anymore. So I'm trying to work on masturbation in general on my own, just to like kind of take ownership of that and take that desirability back and just kind of be like, ah, man, like I desire myself and really own that. And I was gifted a dildo in these times for my first one. So I'm ready to try that out. Maybe that might change the game a little bit, or just, you know, kind of spice things up. And I feel like masturbation for me is kind of going to be something empowering, just to take the power away from sex with a partner. And what that means to me right now. So
it really seems like we're out here realizing our unhealthy relationships with sex and actively trying to change it. Sex and masturbation, because that shit do be unhealthy sometimes.
It do.
Shout out to social distancing for keeping us safe and also giving us opportunities to learn new things about ourselves.
Yeah.
Explore those things as they pop up. And shout out to you for actually exploring it as it popped up and not being like, nigga, I'm trying to fuck. Fuck. And then just like leaving it there.
I thought about it, but no, I thought I'd be, you know, a rise above it.
That's all you gotta do. All right, cool. Thank you everybody for sharing your stories. Now gonna give a little offering to the listeners at home. We're talking about masturbation a lot. You might be thinking about your personal sex toy collection right now. So do a little inventory of it and think, is your sex toy collection looking a little dry? Well, we've got just the goodie bags to get the juices flowing. Your favorite queer black feminist podcasters, Inner Hoe Uprising, are teaming up with sex toy boutique Babeland Toys to give away a sexy goodie bag that we're calling a hoe bag to one lucky winner. How do I win, you might be asking? Well, you can head over to innerhoeuprising.com/hoebagsweepstakes, which is in the show notes for this episode, and you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. That's all you have to do. You're actually winning twice, because the newsletter is a goodie bag in and of itself filled with sex positive content, tips and tricks on how to have a fulfilling, shame-free sex life. Entrants must be 18 and older to play. The winner will be selected from a list of entrants at random, and when the winner is chosen, they'll be asked to verify their age by Inner Hoe Uprising before the prize is shipped. The winner will be chosen at 11:59 p.m. on April 2nd, so sign up soon, because that's like a couple of hours from when this drops. All right, now we're going to go into our last segment of the day, and that segment is called Fuck You. It is the segment about your sex, love, and dating lives. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hoe tales, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Do not forget to include your pronouns. Also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail and we'll play it on the show. And we'll also respond to it on the show. And the number for that is 404-491-9158. Once again, that is 404-491-9158. And that number is in the show notes. Now we have a letter from the overthinking ho, and the overthinking ho's pronouns are she and her. And the overthinking ho writes, "Hey hoes, first, thanks for all the education, awareness, love, and humor you all have brought to my life. I've gone from dry spell to ho face to relationship, all while listening to your podcast. I truly appreciate you all for what you do. I'm a 30-year-old black cishet woman who has issues with overthinking when it comes to sex. I've always had this issue, but with my current boyfriend, it's become more apparent. This relationship is very new. We've only been together since January, and in total, I haven't even known him for a full year yet. He's 34 and has more experience than me. For example, he's gone to play parties and he's been in a poly relationship. Me, on the other hand, I'm very open-minded and liberal, but on paper, I'm vanilla and basic as fuck. When we first had sex, I thought I was going to rock his world. I don't have a ton of experience, but I've been praised for my skills. Then we get into it. I start giving him head and he fell asleep. I was so embarrassed and felt so inadequate. Since then, I have not fully felt like, quote unquote, enough. My boyfriend assured me that he was just tired and has not fallen asleep since. Fast forward to now, we have had some really good sex and overall, I feel we are compatible, but I'm in my head every time we have sex. When I give head, I wonder how many women have done it better for him. When I ride him, I wonder if he'll go soft or get bored. When he's hitting it from the back, I think to myself, be sexy or throw it back more, etc. I can't even moan without wondering if he's into it or not. I have never had this much insecurity with my previous boyfriends and find myself comparing them in my head a lot. Recently, we haven't been able to have sex for a little over a week due to BV medicine I was on. When we finally did, he gave me head. I went to reciprocate and I couldn't hang. It was cut short without him coming. The next day, we both agreed to try again. I was anticipating it, but when I got home, I started doing some paperwork until late. He waited for me and even thought I would make the first move when I was done with work. When I didn't, he mentioned it and we had sex. I was even overthinking initiating the sex. This time, I was so in my head that I became dry and I was disappointed afterwards. I started to wonder if I should end things because sex is so important. He consistently praises me and assured me that he's enjoying every second of sex with me, so much so that I've started worrying that my insecurity will run him off. How can I get out of my head, lower my inhibitions, and have fun with sex again? How can I let go of some of my insecurities? Sincerely, the overthinking ho."
Thank you for writing in, the overthinking ho. A couple of things that I got from listening to your letter and reading it was that it seemed like you, from the beginning, you kind of set yourself up in a way, and that you put yourself in this competition with your partner's experience and his past. And a way to kind of shake that is to remind yourself that it's not a competition. Like, no matter who he's had sex with in the past, who he have sex with in the future, like, sex with you will always be a unique and irreplicable experience. Like, he can have sex with Rihanna and it still will not be sex with you. That's just that. Like, there's so much that comes into having sex. Is the personalities, it's our, you know, sex drives, it's so much that goes into it that he's been to play parties. Yes, he's in poly relationships. Yes, he's had a threesome with 9 other people. None of that will ever equate sex with you. Secondly, he's making an effort to continue having sex with you. So there's something that he enjoys. Like, he enjoys having sex with you, says that he praises you, you know, he's initiating, he's coming back for more, he likes having sex with you. When you make it a competition, only you lose, because you've made it the competition. So that means that you've already assumed that there's someone in first place and it's not you. I would definitely suggest trying to, like, decenter, you know, sex being about skills and praise and what I can do, and, like, really just about the pleasure that you're giving and receiving from your partner. Secondly, get to know yourself. Like, when it comes to insecurities, and I've had insecurities, you know, about sex, especially when I was starting out, because I didn't know what I was doing, what it looked like, and, you know, am I riding dick right, or, you know, whatever. And what really helped was, one, learning to masturbate, realizing what I liked, what I didn't like, what's out there, and really watching my body. So, like, get a dildo and squat on that shit and until you find a comfortable position to ride in that you like and you could do tricks or whatever. You know, stick it on your headboard, throw it back, masturbate in a mirror, or my favorite pastime, just twerking for yourself. I'll get in a mirror and just start popping it like, yes. And you can even involve him to spice it up or add some novelty, take some nudes and send it to him. Mutual masturbation. I think that's the name of this of this episode. I'm just going to keep saying it till everybody's doing it. Like, mutually masturbate with each other. Kind of get back to you. And learning you and feeling right in your body. Because when you can do that, when you feel good for yourself, when you are in control of your pleasure and how your body moves and what you do, you automatically feel like you're that bitch and no one can take that from you, regardless of who he's been with before, who he may be with in the future. Hopefully there's no future. Thirdly, I would suggest increasing foreplay. Sometimes, especially when you've been with a partner, you guys have been doing it for a while, we kind of get to kiss, kiss, head, head, bam, bam, penetrative. Like, it gets to be this routine that's quick. And sometimes for your body to get into it, for your mind to get into it, increasing the amount of time that you're kissing, touching, fondling erogenous zones that don't equal, you know, your genitals. So like rubbing on your scalp or your inner thigh or kissing on your stomach, you know, all of these things can help you kind of decompress and get into, you know, your session, your time with that other person. And in the moment, in the actual sexual moment, when you find yourself, you guys are, you know, in a position, you're throwing it back and your head goes to, oh, does he even like this? Or am I doing it good? Or is it fast enough? Acknowledge that thought and then refocus your attention. Get into your senses. So like make eye contact or smell him or identify a smell in the room or touch him or ask him to touch you or auditory, like zero in on him moaning. And that will bring you back into your present, into the present when you tap into your senses and what's going on, because there's going to be a lot of stimulation. So you can do that. What's helped for me when I get distracted during sex, because sometimes there's just so much on my mind or whatever, I'm not really into it, is focusing on my breathing, kind of like meditating. So kind of bringing myself in and noticing how I'm breathing. And then all of a sudden I'm back in the moment. I'm back in the present. I'm breathing deeply. I can hear him. I can touch him. I can feel him. And, you know, staying there or trying to remind yourself to kind of stay in the present. Another tip I would suggest is dirty talk. I love talking dirty because it's like twofold. So first, for like affirming yourself, checking in, you know, asking, my favorite line is, how does this pussy feel? That's my favorite line. Everybody done heard it and they gonna tell me good things. And that makes me feel good in the moment, like, yeah, this pussy's glad. Yeah, he liking it. But also in the moment and like engaging your senses, ask him to pull your hair or smack your ass or bite you or moan louder if he's not moaning or something. And all of that will bring you back into the moment and make it all fun and spicy or whatnot. And lastly, I've been in this aftercare bubble because I was researching it. And aftercare is a practice that's usually in like BDSM, like when people do scenes and stuff. But I feel like it should be a part of all sex that we have. But after you guys are done, you know, discussing what you liked, you know, in that session, in that ROM, what you want to try again, what you want to do next time, cuddle with each other, spoon, massage, whatever you need to feel affirmed and loved and like he's there with you and he's enjoyed, ask for it and do it, because all of that plays a part. I can't imagine having sex with someone and not saying that you guys aren't doing that, but if you aren't, do it. And if you are, do it some more. But I can't imagine having sex with someone and then afterwards they just get up and just like walk to the kitchen or something. Like, that makes you feel so alone. And like, then you really start to wonder, did they like it? You know, all of this other stuff. It really starts to bring on sexual shame. So like practicing that, you know, being in the moment even afterwards and touching and caressing or whatever you want to do, that will help you to feel loved and affirmed. The end.
Thank you, Akua.
I loved it.
Well, that was very amazing. Helpful tips. Whoops, that was I was sitting there writing down stuff. I'm definitely gonna adopt a lot of that because I have those moments too. There's no way I could say that better myself. Thank you, Akua.
Yeah, I definitely agree with every point that you said. I had some additional tips, and it's not coming from a therapist perspective, but just my own brain. I want to like add a little bit onto the foreplay thing, and that even like, I would suggest that you let your husband know, well, he already knows, but maybe even let him know that this insecurity is now an insecurity. So he's like fully aware of like the playing field that you're operating on and the fact that you're going to try to like incorporate some things into your sex life to deal with this, you know, because he is your partner. And so I think when you do practice foreplay, maybe even just have some you time only foreplay where it's like, okay, I have a tough time getting out of my head and focusing on my pleasure. Can we just set aside like 15, 30 minutes, an hour where it's just you pleasuring me? And, you know, that's not you being selfish in this sense, because I'm sure that he cares about you. And if he truly does care about you, he'll be pleased by the fact that he's pleasing you. So just like have it be this time for you to actually like connect with what it feels like to have him stimulate you as opposed to this performance kind of thing. This is something that I saw on the show Sex Education that I thought was like kind of silly in the moment, but like maybe if you have a hard time getting out of this performance thing, I'm not saying use this as a crutch, but maybe like the first couple of times, I'm suggesting a blindfold. And in general, blindfolds can be sexy, so do with that what you will. But having both of you blindfolded might be able to help you step into this. So if you have him blindfolded, that might help you get past your, oh, do I look sexy doing this? Do I look sexy in this position? And then having you blindfolded might really allow you to just focus on what you're feeling in the moment, as opposed to like you looking back at him and being like, what does he look like when I'm doing this? What does he look like when I'm sucking his dick or whatever? So try that. I really don't know if this is good advice, so y'all feel free to call me out if this is like terrible, but I have also had like insecurities when it came to head, and I'm also a cuck. So keep both of those things in mind when I'm telling you this. But like I had asked one of my previous sexual partners to just tell me about all of the like best heads that he's ever had, like the best sessions of getting head that he's ever had. And it was enjoyable for me because it turned me on hearing that kind of thing. But then also like everything that he said, I would just incorporate it into my head routine. And then I was like giving better head after that. So I don't know if that is like too aggravating to the sense of competition that you have right now, but it might be like a cute thing to include.
I'd co-sign that just to say that also there's not a one size fit all for what type of head people enjoy. So I definitely had moments where I was trying to do something like suck some nuts when the person I was doing it with that at that time didn't even care. They didn't even like it. They thought it tickled and they were like, I don't want that. But you had to have a conversation where you're like, oh, it's what I'm doing. Okay. What do you like? Where do you get pleasure from certain things? Cause everyone's different. And then that gave me more confidence because I'm literally doing what you asked me to do. So it's not, there's less of a mystery. So I definitely think for me, that's something that I do as well. Not just from the cuck perspective, even though that's kind of like, hey, but it's also just like, okay, if you tell me what you like, I'm going to do the best I can to mimic that or put my own spin on it. And that way I know there's less of a mystery and there's less of a room for me to be like, I wonder if they like this because they told me they like it. So I'm just doing exactly what it is. And it doesn't make it any less fun. It just, you know that you're doing the right thing. So it feels good.
Yeah, when you do that, it takes out the guessing factor.
Exactly.
What kind of head do you like? Like some niggas like extremely sloppy head. Yes. I'm not into that shit, but if you're into that and you're my partner and I want to please you, I know if I'm in a moment where I really, really want to please you, then that's something that I'll do. But you don't really know until you ask. And it is an insecurity if this person says, oh, I like this. And it's something that's simple, something that is plausible, like not, oh, I like it when you stick my dick so far down your throat that you vomit. Like that might not be something that's okay with you, but if it's something that is actually plausible, then that might, you know, lead to you saying, okay, well, he likes this. He's enjoying it. I'm doing what he likes. And I don't know, a little less guesswork might also ease a little bit of insecurity.
I really loved the blindfold idea when you wrote it. I was like, yeah, I remember seeing that on Sex Education and thought that was so cute. And it's a really good way to, again, kind of take out the outside factors and really enjoy and focus on what's happening to your body at that moment and the fact that he's doing it to you. So try all this out. Let us know how it helps.
Yeah, definitely get back to us. It seems like you all live together, so there's a lot of time to be having a lot of sex now, if you're into it, obviously. And then if you're not into it, we'll still be doing this a couple of months from now. So I'm sure that there will still be even more time to the end of the year. So definitely keep us updated. Yeah, if this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inaho Uprising Community, that is CUMMUNITY. And you can head to InahoUprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, Pay a Ho, or check out our merchandise. If you'd like to follow me personally, Rodeca, my Instagram name is at the darkest timeline, and on Twitter, I am Exist and Crisis.
You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow me, Rob, at Clint.Eatwood. And my Instagram is Banta.BlackWithAQ. And Twitter is Rob_God.
Okay, I am SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos when I used to travel and eat food. And everybody have a great week. Bye.
Bye. Good luck.
Who was that to?
Everybody.
Just the general, like, just be safe, nigga.
That's why my niggas will be okay.
That's a good point.